This morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We're concluding the series of messages that we began several weeks ago about the sonship of the believer. If you know Jesus, whether male or female, you are a son of God. And of course, what we mean by that is you are heirs to the promise. In Bible times, it was the son who is an heir. And in Christ, there is no male or female. So we're all sons or heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, as Scripture teaches us. We've talked about a number of things as we've looked on this idea of being God's son, what it means to be a son of God. And of course, as being a son of God, we are under the discipline of God. We're not only under God's blessings, and thank God for that, for His provision, for His grace, and of course, His mercy and forgiveness that gives us the sonship. But because God loves us so much, He will at times move in our lives in such a way as to discipline us, to turn us away from sin or those things which are destructive to us, and turn us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also began to talk about, and we'll continue to talk about today, since we are the sons of God, we have not only received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry according to Romans chapter 8, Abba, Father, we also have a lot of brothers and sisters in Jesus. Which, in many ways and many times, is a joyful thing. But in other times, it's a very stressful thing. And anyone who's ever had that family dynamic of a lot of brothers and sisters have experienced both the blessings and, I won't say cursings, because there is no curse involved with that, but some of the struggles that are involved in that. And we struggle as well as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we did take some time to talk about how we are our brother's keeper. And it is important to judge one another with godly judgment. Not as the world judges, but as God judges. So that we can be instruments of God's correction, restoration. And so that we can also learn. Because I not only learn through my trials and struggles, I learn through yours as well. And today we're going to talk about our reaction to when our brothers or our sisters are blessed. Amen. And so let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's a very familiar story. It's the parable or the story of the lost son. And Luke 15 is just a great chapter. It's the Lord Jesus' teaching on redemption. Amen. And how God has, because of what Jesus has done, reconciled man to Him. All those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord are redeemed from sin and death and are given eternal life. And this is the last of the, three illustrations that Jesus gives in this chapter. Beginning with verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you, and I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you so much for your goodness and grace today. We thank you for your love and mercy, and we thank you that you are in this place, moving by the power of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. As we look to the Word of God this morning, we earnestly seek for the anointing of God's Holy Spirit to be both upon this speaker and upon every hearer here. We are in need of your moving today because we are in need of your Word. Speak to us in a powerful way, God, we pray, and we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you have experienced this in your household, but I experienced it in my household both growing up, but also in my household now as a parent. And that is, at Christmas time when it's time to open gifts, you've got everything under the tree and, you know, the stockings are all laid out with care and so on and so forth. We make this, the statement had been made to me by my parents, and I in turn made this statement to my children, even though it may not look like it, we spent the same on both of you. How many have ever experienced that? Especially in this day and age with electronics. If you're going to get electronics, your gifts are going to be a lot smaller looking than if you get clothes or other things. Why do we say that to our children? Well, the answer is obvious. We say it because with siblings, there's always that little bit of rivalry that exists. And no sibling wants to seem like the other sibling or other siblings, depending on how big your family is getting more or is making out better than you. And if at any time the other sibling is getting more than if one sibling is getting more than the other, you can guarantee a pouty face and probably for a long time. In fact, I've seen several birthday parties of small children where one small child, it's his birthday and he's getting a bunch of gifts, and then there's another usually smaller child who gets a little gift. Not because it's their birthday, but because they'll, you know, forgive the expression, flip out if they don't get something too. And it's interesting, you know, God describes our relationship with one another like a family, because it is a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not just joint heirs. We are blood. In fact, spiritually speaking, and I think even naturally speaking, we are closer to one another than our own blood relatives because we are bound by the blood of Jesus. And we have a calling of God, and that calling of God is the same calling that my parents had upon me and my brother, that we live at peace. Unity is a very important part of the dynamic of the church. Without it, we will never be what God has called us to be. When we live in unity, when we truly love one another, when we're getting along with one another, and you know, getting along with one another is not just being all smiley and shaking hands on a Sunday morning. Anybody can do that. But being at unity is truly loving your brother and your sister no matter what. In fact, the example of loving one another that we have in Scripture is the love that, I hate to use the term big brother because he is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is our elder brother. He's the firstborn of all creation. And so we can reverently refer to him as that. As brothers and sisters in Christ, and I just lost my train of thought, so excuse me. We'll get back to it. Unity is so important in the body of Christ. We honor God when we live unified together. We present a good witness to the world when we live unified and what I was speaking about, how it's important to truly demonstrate the love of Jesus to one another, which means we love one another when the other person is acting unlovely. We're all human beings in this place. So that means there will be times when we will act in an unlovely fashion, or may I say, an ugly fashion. God does not absolve us from loving one another when we're acting unlovely. We need to continue to do that despite how the other person is acting. I still need to care for the person who's acting unlovely in the body of Christ. I still need to pray for that person. I still need to help that person. I need, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, correct that person. So, unity is very important, and it's a genuine heart of love for another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important, as I mentioned a few moments ago, as far as our witness to the world. The world watches everything we do, and not whether just to see whether or not we'll utter a cuss word when, you know, someone cuts us off or, you know, something like that happens. They're looking for those types of things. But they're also looking to see if we treat one another the way that we should treat one another. Because the world, and they may have never cracked open a Bible. I've got a little, it's not a Gideon. Although I had, for years, a little green one that the Gideons passed out to me when I was going to Southeastern Mass University in Massachusetts and read that thing many times. It was a blessing. They know, even though they might have never cracked the pages of that book, they know exactly what it means to serve Jesus and that Christians treat one another well and speak well of one another. This isn't really what I wanted to preach about today, but it just seems to go that way. It's just seeming to go that way this morning. Amen. If we're not open to the Spirit, we're in trouble. But, and this is also important, it's not only important as far as our witness, but if we are not genuinely loving one another as Christ has called us to love one another, we can plunge our souls into crisis. I'm jumping ahead in my notes, but that's what happened to the Son, the second Son, the elder Son. When we read the story of the prodigal son, it's all about the younger son, the first son that's mentioned, who goes out, who gets his inheritance, who spends it on wine, women, and song, and loses everything, who is brought down to the disgusting job, especially to a Jewish person, of feeding pigs, who goes groveling back in shame to his father. And then his father, despite and you're sitting in the seat, Paul, so despite the stench of pig on him, despite his appearance, despite all that he's gone through, runs and grabs him and hugs him, washes him up, cleans him up, gives him a ring, gives him shoes. Doesn't just makes a party, just doesn't make a party, sacrifices the fatted calf, that which was for only the most special of occasions, reinstates him fully, and we read that story. So many of us can identify with that because we've been there, alienated from God in the stink of sin. And we've come to God either at church or at home or at a Bible study or wherever it might have been. And we prayed that sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Holy Spirit just came in and made us a brand new person. It washed away our sins. I love that testimony, that first brother who shared how you know, he was just living a life that was just killing him, body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus made him brand new. You can just see the joy of the Lord all over him. We've been through that, and we know people who have gone through that. And when that transformation happens, everyone is happy. And in that story, everyone's happy. The son, obviously, is happy. Unexpectedly so. The father is happy because he has his son back. The servants are all happy. They don't seem bothered at all that, you know, he's been reinstated. But then over in the corner, whom do you see? But one little pouty face. The little boy is not getting the presents on that birthday. The one who couldn't share with the joy of everyone else because of issues that they were going through. The older faithful son. In fact, he wasn't in a corner. When we read the scripture, he was outside. Everything was going on inside, and as soon as he found out what was going on, he refused to come in. What does that tell us about the importance of living in unity and not, and one thing that breaks unity, which I haven't specifically mentioned but will as we progress through the message, is jealousy or envy. The older son broke fellowship with not only he didn't want to see his brother. He also did not want to see his father. Let me tell you, I dare say, because Scripture says it, and I'm not just picking it out of this story, but in numerous instances, especially the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible to have hatred towards your brother and sister in Christ and have a relationship with Jesus. And I'm not saying if you're angry with your brother, you're condemning your soul to a Christless eternity, but you are not on a good road. And your relationship will suffer, and if you don't make it right, your relationship will be destroyed with Christ. I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying, in numerous instances in the Gospels. There are so many things that can become between believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Insults, offenses, miscommunications, overstepping boundaries. There's some of the things we talk about, you know, when we go through membership class. But sometimes, the thing that gives us offense about our brother, that moves us to a place of disunity, that moves us to a place of jealousy, is when our brother or sister is being blessed and we are not. Just like the kids on Christmas morning. He got more than me. Now, when everybody's being, you know, when you're being blessed, when God's really moving in your life and God moves in someone else's life, it's like share the wealth. Everybody's happy. Amen? You know, praise God, I got healed. Well, I got healed too. Everybody's happy about it. And I have to say, there are some times when I've received the blessing, I know someone hasn't received the blessing but is struggling, that I feel bad, almost guilty for having a blessing from God, and that's something I've had to work through, especially, you know, in my with my situation with cancer. Because there's many people who, you know, bless God, many of us who have gone through cancer and have gone on the other side healthy and whole, and others who have not. So sometimes it's a little hard to rejoice because you don't want to offend someone, but we should never refrain from giving glory to God. But it's very hard to rejoice with someone else's blessings when you're going through a time of hardship or difficulty. In fact, that's a mandate. I have a scripture for you, Romans chapter 12, verse 15. One of the ingredients for unity in the body of Christ is sharing one another's not only sorrows, but victories. Paul writes to the Romans and says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." I dare say it's easier to mourn with those who mourn. For some people, it's difficult to empathize with another person, but for most people, especially if you've lived for any amount of time, you have gone through pain. And so when someone else is going through pain, you're right there with them. You're praying for them. You're encouraging them. You're sympathizing with them. I'll cry with you because I like to cry anyways, you know. The big challenge we have, especially when we're going through a time of struggle and difficulty, is to rejoice with other people's blessings. And seemingly, we're being left out in the cold by God. One of the things, there's a reason why we as parents tell our kids, "We spent the same amount on you on Christmas morning." And the reason is the perception would be that we're favoring one over another. And so it is with the body of Christ. And in fact, parents, let me ask you. All children know this, unless you were an only child, and that's, you know, fine. Anthony? But I learned very shortly after the birth of my daughter that you cannot raise two children the same. That if you try to do the same things with the second child that you did with the first child, it will not work. We found that out, and my daughter's downstairs, so bless God. It was a challenge to discipline my daughter, and I've told this story before. Because you could take everything away from her, and she did not care. And we finally found something that worked. I won't tell you what it is. But in order to bring my daughter the same place that we were bringing my son, I had to treat her completely different because she was a unique individual. But both her and my son could say to me, because the perception is completely different than what my intent was as a parent, I'm not a perfect parent by any means, is that you are not fair. We are all God's children. God, and as such, God, because He knows us so intimately, you know, even He knows you more intimately than you even know yourself. We know this, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. I don't care how many hairs I have. But God, because He loves us so much, He knows the very hairs on our head. He knows us so intimately. And so, because He's not a cookie cutter God, and we are more than just a number, we are a living, breathing soul. God moves in us in a unique, powerful, and loving way just for us. And our blessings are our own, and our disciplines from God are our own. They're nobody else's, because they are unique to us. But in that, in God, working and moving and blessing and giving and taking in different ways and different people, there's a perception that sometimes comes into our heart that God is not fair. That God loves this one more than He loves me. And this is especially true when someone whom we view, not whom God views, but whom we view is inferior to us as a believer. And don't tell me you don't view anyone who's inferior to you. We all do. That's part of our human nature. That hopefully the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome. Think now. What was the older brother unjustified naturally in what he was thinking? Here he was faithful to his father for many, many, many years. Never once thought about not only receiving the inheritance, never once thought there was a reason why the younger son went far away. He knew that he could not live in an ungodly fashion, drunken, sexually immoral fashion under his father's roof. The older son being there, not only faithfully worked for his father, but faithfully honored his father and honored the God that his father served. By living righteously. And then the brother goes out, and you know how things are in family. Isn't it interesting to know? And, you know, we all have this dynamic in our family. It's not right. You know, two people don't speak to each other. But isn't it interesting to know how they find out about things anyways? They haven't talked to each other in years, but they know what's going on, the other person, what's been happening with it. The older brother knew what the younger brother had been into, and he comes back after not doing anything, just walking back, taking all the inheritance, wasting it, ruining the family name, the reputation, dishonoring God. And he comes back, and there he is, wearing the finest of clothes, having this great party and celebration. A celebration that the older faithful son, godly son, never had. In fact, what did he say to his father? You never even gave me an old stringy goat. I've never had goat meat, but I understand it's inferior to that of the calf. You know, I love a lamb, a nice lamb roast. But if Raylene was ever to say we're going to have a goat for supper, I don't know. I think I'll stop by and eat something on the way home. You never gave me an old string. You're giving him more than you ever even thought about giving me. Here I've been faithful to you all these years. The same thing happens in the body of Christ. Someone who apparently they're not, because none of us are deserving. Amen? That's what the gospel is all about. That's what grace is. None of us deserve anything from God. But people whom we view as less deserving, they're less faithful to serving God. They're less devoted. They wouldn't know what the scripture said if it bit them on the nose. They live like the devil. You know what they're into. You hear what they're like at their job. Or, and this is one of my favorites, they really haven't been serving God as long as I have. And God blesses them in a tremendous way, and you still struggle. They might have been given by God more gifts, whether they're natural gifts or spiritual gifts. God, why do you waste all those gifts and talents on them? When how come not me? I would like to be doing those things. I'm at church every Sunday. I'm always paying my tithes and so on and so forth. Getting up early and praying and so on and so forth. How come, you know, every week I've been working in the nursery or the Sunday school or something. And one person one day gives a testimony. Everybody's like falling all over them. Why not me? I've been serving God longer and I've been serving God better than they have. Or, how come this person seems to have it so easy? They just kind of waltz in on Sunday morning and waltz out. They don't lift a finger that I can see as far as to do anything for God's kingdom, yet their life seems so happy. They're healthy. They've got plenty of money. They do this and that, and here we are just struggling week to week. Or God healed them, and here I've had this affliction for many, many years. Ripe, fertile ground for jealousy, envy to come in and cause a breakdown in our bonds with one another and with God. Why is this? I think there are two reasons. Number one is of course, the sin reason, the old nature reason, that being pride. And can I use this expression, stinking pride? I'm using it of myself. We think we're more deserving, or at least as deserving as someone else. We think that we're better. Our lives should be more blessed. We should be more influential. We should have more things. But in actuality, what we're saying is we know better than God. Or we might not say it, at least not consciously, but when you say that less deserving people are getting more than what I should get, you are basically saying, God knows, I know better than God. Which is the height of pride. But there's another reason. And this is a very sorrowful and this is a very understandable reason. You love God and you have been faithful to Jesus. Not perfect, no one's perfect, but you have been faithful to God, what God has called you to do, and you know, reading your Bible, praying, trying to become more like Jesus. And there's an area in your life that you're struggling. It might be your job, it might be a sickness, and it's really doing a number on you. It's a weight. It could be a family situation. It's just a weight that is literally too heavy for you to bear. You need God. And then all of a sudden someone else gets a breakthrough. And it's not that you're not happy for them. But you ask God, why not me? Or when's my turn? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there. That's a very, very difficult place to be. My heart goes out to you. I know, you know, I mentioned earlier when I went through cancer, you know, one of the things I felt bad for is when I was doing well and others weren't. Saw a lot of people move on, but saw a lot of people get sicker and pass away. I'm sure you folks have it as well. But I was also upset that other people were able to move on more quickly than I was. I was on chemotherapy for almost 2 years. And although I shouldn't have been, I was a little resentful that people could go on and move on with their lives and I was still tethered to this treatment every 2 and then later every 3 weeks. It's very, very difficult to rejoice in someone else's and genuinely rejoice and not feel downhearted and broken when someone else has a victory and you continue to struggle. This happens to churches. You know, there are times when things in church go great and there are times when things in churches just go terribly. And I've gone to, you know, church conferences at a very low time in my life, and of course they're always putting up, you know, they're not going to put up a guy who's struggling in a church and talk about all his struggles. They're going to talk about someone who goes in some place and everything's going great. And you end up leaving the conference more defeated than when you came. It's just what happens. Let me tell you, God understands that. He understands your pain. I'm not saying that we can live in that. But God understands and is tender towards you. How do we know that to be true? We know that to be true because what was the response of the father when he knew the older son was outside pouting? Good enough? As soon as he snaps out of it, he can come in and join the rest of us. If he wants to act like a baby, let him. That was not his disposition at all. Once again, from our text this morning, verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. What does that tell us? Feeling broken, hurt, envious, jealous, when others are being blessed is just part of being a human being. Not only does God understand that, God moves to minister to that and raise us up out of it. But be careful, or be knowing of this. The comfort of God usually comes with a gentle rebuke. The father said to the son, look, everything is yours. This is yours. This little party. I mean, how long do you think the party was going to last? For months or years? It was just for a moment. Nothing's changed. You are still my son. In fact, he was still the older son who, according to Jewish law, was entitled to the double portion. Nothing had changed. Despite having told this story, Peter, the disciple, fell into envy with his brother John. his spiritual brother John, not physical brother. In John's gospel, Jesus addresses Peter. He tells him about his future. He says this, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And it wasn't, you know, "Oh, I've received this wonderful thing, how I'm going to glorify God. How about John?" This was a very grave, albeit blessed, because Peter was, I'm sure, more than willing and able and rejoiced, actually, when he suffered for the cause of Christ. All disciples did. Didn't understand it. This was indignant. "What about this guy? What about the one who's always lying at your breast? The one who refers to himself as the one that you love? What about your favorite, Jesus?" And here's Jesus' answer, and it was, I'm sure, administered in love, but it was a rebuke. Jesus answered, verse 22, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." If we fall into these feelings of jealousy and envy, not only expect but be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to confront, to rebuke, to heal, and to restore. Now, having said that, and musicians, if you would like to come, two more things I want to share before concluding this morning regarding this. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to confront us on our sin, to deal with our sin. Amen? And if you think you're above being jealous of another brother or sister in Christ, I won't call you a fool, but that's foolish. At some point, you're going to see someone who has it better than you in some area of your life. And the devil's going to be right there saying, "See? God's not fair. God's not just. He loves so-and-so more than he loves you." We can do some preventative medicine. The first of which is to understand how God works. Now, if you think I'm going to tell you how God works, you got another thing coming. But what I mean by that is, and I think Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9 bears this out, gives us insight. We need to understand that the way God works in the lives of men will be probably 99.9% of the time different than the way we would act or work. His idea of what is just and what is good is completely different than ours. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God doesn't think like you. We need to put on the mind of Christ. And so we need to understand that God's not going to act the way I want him to act, or even the way I think he should act. And there'll be times when it will appear to be unfair, but by faith, I know it's more than fair. It is merciful. In fact, even if God gives you nothing, God has given you more than you deserve. But he's given you everything. Nothing has changed your eternal inheritance, despite what happens. But know also this, that whether you have plenty or little, however God moves in your life, I'm not talking about consequences of sin, I'm talking about as you're living this life of faith, however God chooses to move in you and through you and around you is not only for His glory, it's also for your good. For all things, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. And maybe you're not as healthy or as talented or as rich or get as much praise as this one or that one. But whatever you're getting from God, should we not receive evil as well as good? Says Scripture. Says Job, one of the most godly men who ever lived, to his wife, who tempted him to do just that. God, you're not fair. Understanding that however God moves, it's for our good. Bless God, hallelujah. And thirdly, and I touched on this before, we need to be eternally minded. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 9 says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I wish I could spend another 45 minutes on these two scriptures, because they're so wonderful, they're so powerful. But it says two things. Two things being this. What God has in store for us is far beyond what we can even conceive in and of ourselves. And the blessings of this life are just like the burdens of this life. They are light and momentary. $1 million could be gone tomorrow the way markets go in the world today, obviously. And definitely do not go into eternity. Fame is fleeting, but that's something that endures forever, and that's your soul. And an incorruptible crown that God will give you if you are faithful unto death. And it's so important for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to not only understand that the life that is to come is far better, infinitesimally better than this life here and now. And what this scripture says is that not only is there a life like that, we can know it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, through His Word, and by His Spirit, helping us to understand and live in the reality of eternity. If I'm never well known, or never rich, or never have this, or go there in this life, what does it matter? Because I'm not living for the now. I'm living for the kingdom that's coming.
Amen.
Listen, my friend, there's an urgency. And I hope this doesn't speak to anyone here, but in case it does, there's an urgency if you're struggling with feelings of envy or jealousy or bitterness or resentment towards another brother and sister in Christ because God is blessing them in a certain way and you're not getting blessed. And that urgency is your relationship with Jesus and with others. Know this, the Father is searching for you. You open up your heart, the Holy Spirit will come in, will convict, cleanse, and heal you of those bitter feelings. No one wants to be there. He'll set you free. And do, if you could put up that last verse from 1 Corinthians 2. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you that eternal mindset. In fact, I think it's a good discipline that if you're getting hung up on the blessings of this present age, you need to spend time on your knees and in God's Word, asking God to make the reality of His coming kingdom in your life. Make that a reality. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray together in Jesus' precious name. And Sister Katrina, I'm going to ask if you would come, and on behalf of all of us who are here, ask God to just move in our lives, and especially in this area of unity. We don't want to give the enemy any occasion to bring disunity in this body. And in this church, and may I say, and I believe this is of the Lord, we're not at the end of the life cycle of this church. We're at the beginning of a new cycle. But if we're going to see God do great things, His things in this church, we need to live as He has called us to live, which means we cannot give the enemy any occasion, including bitterness, envy, jealousy, resentment, to come in. And so, sister, if you would come and lead us in prayer this morning and ask God to free us from the spirit of jealousy and envy and give us a spirit of love and an eternal mindset.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.